You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's begin now.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome into After Hours. Stepping in for Dusty Likens, I am Drew Nixon. Happy to have you along the ride for the next 3 hours. We're going to be diving into a little bit of everything today. Chiefs, Royals. The Royals are hot. They're hot, Julio. College football as well. Chris Kleiman. You hear a conversation I had with him a little bit later on in the show, as well as some other stuff. I might even throw a Bengals hot take in there, too. You know, I mean, you don't have to.
You can choose to.
I feel like I have to,
as long as you're ready for the repercussions.
I've been here long enough. I'm always ready for the repercussions of being a Bengals fan when the Chiefs continue to keep on winning. But it's the Royals who are absolutely scorching hot right now. Six straight back-to-back sweeps. And I think one of the things that it's easy to forget a lot in sports is when you're witnessing history, you realize after it's gone that, oh man, this is a really crazy moment. And in sports, the Royals right now are doing something that we have only seen from some of the best turnarounds in sports history. They're going from one of the worst teams in baseball to being in the elite echelon, where they're up there with the Phillies. We're talking about the Yankees and the Dodgers. The Royals are right there, 32-19, 13 games over 500. It's one of the greatest turnarounds. They're on pace for over 100 wins. The franchise record's 102. Not that I'm saying they're going to eclipse that or they're going to get there, but if you are anybody who's not gotten on the bandwagon yet, Dusty said it yesterday. He brought it up today on Cody and Gold, is that if you're not on the boat yet, today's the last day, because we've got Bobby Witt, who is slugging out there. Mikel Garcia's playing great. Vinny Pasquantino. We got everybody hitting home runs. We've got the rotation absolutely dealing right now. Seth Lugo, 7-1, playing way better than I think anybody thought coming into the season. You've got the stud Cole Reagans. I'll get to him in particular a little bit later, but he's had a career game the other night. 12 strikeouts going up against Scooble from the Tigers in a big-time moment. This is everything that you want out of, from what I've heard, is a baseball team that everybody gets behind. When the baseball is good, everybody loves when the baseball is good in Kansas City. And right now, the baseball is very, very, very good. You got to listen to what Dusty said. I'm telling you again, you have to jump on the boat now, because we're sailing off. And the way that we're looking right now, the Royals are going to be in the postseason. And at that point, who knows? The expectations weren't even to make the postseason this year. They're eclipsing everything that I think so far. So far, I have to be sure to say that, actually. So far, can't jump the gun too much, but they're on pace to do everything and more than what we expected from the jump. Jake Eisenberg was on the drive a little bit earlier today and talked about how effective the rotation has been.
I don't know. Like, there are some other good rotations in baseball. The Phillies have been really good. The Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers are, of course, the Dodgers. But you look at the Royals rotation top to bottom, 1-5, it might be the deepest and most consistent rotation. And come playoff time, that's ultimately one of the biggest deciding factors in how playoff series go, is how you stack up with your starting pitching if you have the depth. And we're a long, long ways away from trying to figure that out in the postseason. You know, it's still, you know, just the tail end of May. But I'd be hard-pressed if I was one of the other 29 teams in baseball and I was looking across the field at a playoff team and thinking, man, Reagans, Lugo, Singer, Waka, Marsh, those are all studs, and they've pitched like studs.
And I think one of the biggest things, too, is that you're starting pitching. It's almost like defense. When you get into the NFL, the NBA in particular, the defense, you know, it steps up a little bit bigger. Each moment matters more. When you get into the baseball postseason, if your starting pitching is at all sketchy, it's really hard to complete the series on a winning note. When you've got a rotation as good as what the Royals have, and Eisenberg said it, everybody's dealing. It's not just Seth Lugo. It's not just Cole Reagans. Michael Wacha's playing well. Alec Marsh has a 2.72 ERA in the five spot. He's 4-1. Brady Singer pitching very well. You can go down the line of starting pitching when it matters most in the postseason and say, this is a group that we can rely on And you're going to be in every single game that you play when the starting pitching is playing this well. Somebody texted in from the 913. The starting staff is as good as 2015. And we all know what happened in 2015.
Difference is the bullpen. But the bullpen has been very solid lately. So I it's not 2015, but they have been very solid. I mean, this is a very good all-around team, right? The offense is coming back, is picking up. Bullpen is now supporting the pitching staff. It's just like you said, man. This is the time to jump in. It can't get any better.
I think that, and to your point, Julio, if there's any possible hole, look at maybe the outfield a little bit, want some more consistency from the bats, in maybe 7, 8, 9, but the rotation is as good as it needs to be, where if they, for whatever reason, can't go 6 or don't go 7, who's the guy that comes in and is the one that can help close the deal without it being the closer in James MacArthur, who at times, has been up and down. I think that's the, to your point, if you really want to make that run, you've got to have the complete package, and the relief pitching is something that, needs to get a little bit better. And that's something, look, Vern said it. I got a hypothetical for you. There's a name that possibly, could be on the deadline. If the Royals are going to make a move, do you want them to be aggressive at the deadline? Because, you feel like this is a year where they could
teasing us, Drew. You're teasing
take
us.
Advantage. Yeah, a little bit later on in the show. Somebody said pick up Cueto and Volquez in 15.
There's a
chance that they can really make some noise. Again, as Jake said, it's early. But right now, baby, the Royals are hot. They're feeling good. We're feeling good. When's the last time you went to a Royals game, Julio?
Probably a couple years, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
It's been a couple years.
You got to get in. You got to get out to the K.
In the next probably month, I will get out. It's hard when you're producing games. You know how it is, man. No, you're back here. I'm going to get plenty of baseball or Royals baseball, man.
If you got some time, Julio, you need to make it out as well as everybody else. We were at the K for the MacArthur's 9th Infantry Day.
Were you part of that? Did you wear the t-shirt?
I wore the t-shirt. I had the hat on. He acknowledged us. It was one of those games where the Royals were so dang good. They got up 6-0 in the first two innings, and we're like, yeah, but he's probably not going to pitch now, which is a little bit of a bummer. But again, the Royals win, and they're feeling good. 32-19. The rotation is on fire. You're witnessing history right now, Kansas City, so you might as well get out and embrace it a little bit. Some people, I get, again, I'm the bank. I cheer for a team that has never won anything. I like, if something good happens, I really fall in love quickly. But I'm also hesitant to really dive in because I'm used to having my heart broken. And over the last 5 to 7 years, Royals fans have had their heart broken. Even if there's a slimmer of, hey, they're actually playing really good. No, just wait a little bit. And then sure enough, things have happened where this team is different. And I think that's the vibe that people who report on them have said, people who have covered and gone to games have said, that this team is just built a little bit differently. And we're seeing it now. At first it was, well, let's see how they get to May. Now it's, let's see how they get to June. And if they, now they're on pace for over 100 wins, let's see how they get to the All-Star break. And then maybe by then we'll have more people on the boat.
Well, to your point, we all know baseball is a very long season. And right now they are on such a hot streak. I'm not saying it can't go south or it's not going to get any better than that, but how can it get much better than right now?
How can it get much better?
Like, it's such a long season. You don't know what can happen. Enjoy it while they're hot,
I think that's the thing. That they're going to hit a little bit of a bump in the road. There might be a stretch where they lose 4 in a row. How do they respond by that? Can they respond with losing 4 in a row to winning 6 in a row and going on to another sweep? That's, you don't want...
Stop the bleeding.
Yep, you don't want things to snowball. Someone said from the 785, are you surprised someone who has just moved to Kansas City that the level of an apparent buying from the city is so low at this time? The city was quick to jump in. I think that's... The holdup, I think, isn't necessarily the vote or television as much as it is fans are used to seeing what the end product is in August and September, last case May or June when the season was essentially over. That I think is what people have trouble really wanting to buy into. Like, we're used to them maybe having a good stretch, but things are going to have, the Royals are going to royal.
I think it's all of it. I think it's a perfect storm of people not necessarily wanting to buy in.
And the TV part doesn't help.
No, it certainly doesn't help. And you're right in the fact that, like, what, by mid-May of last year, everyone tuned out. And that's probably been that way the last 2, 3, 4 years. So it takes a little bit to build trust. But like you said, to open the segment, once Royals fans buy in, oh man, it's one of the most beautiful things to be out at that park and hear night games and just people roaring, and man, that's just, it gives you such feel goods, you know.
When Dusty's got the Massey fan club started, he's been talking about that. We've got the MacArthur's 9th Infantry. The boys are playing some ball. Shirts are going around. Everybody is on a high right now, and hopefully they can. If they go 58-53 the rest of the year, just over 500, they get to 90 wins, and I think 90 wins, based on last season, at least get you into the playoffs. So they just have to play slightly over 500 ball the rest of the way, and cross our fingers they can stay healthy. But right now, with as good as the rotation is, you're going to be in every single game where you get the bats to come through, which they have now consistently, particularly in the last couple of series where they've gotten those sweeps, and the Royals are one of the best teams in all of baseball. It's After Hours. You're listening to it on 610 Sports Radio. When we come back, is the deep ball making its return to the Chiefs' offense? We'll tell you why I think it is next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app, brought to you by Twin Peak.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Eats, drinks, scenic views.
If you are what you say you are.
Back here on After Hours, 610 Sports Radio. Filling in for Dusty Likens, I am Drew Nixon. Happy to have you along for the show today.
Can I interject for just a second here?
Sure, Julio.
Can we just take a moment here to acknowledge you, Drew, and the fact that
I
feel honored. Right? And I feel like the listeners should know this, but this is technically your first solo show, right?
Correct.
So
yeah,
you are
it is.
Here. Joining the Night Shift family. Congrats, man. Congrats.
Thank you.
That's big time.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be working with you, Julio, and being able to do this and filling in for Dusty. I feel blessed to do it, and I'm excited to talk about the Royals obviously being great and everything that we're going to do today. I'm happy to be more of a Kansas Cityan than I was yesterday, even though I do love some Cincinnati Bengals, baby.
They can ever embrace you.
Anytime the Bengals do not play the Chiefs, I'm saying go Chiefs. I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl last year. I feel like people should respect that
Can you do that? Can you do that?
I think I can. As long as they're not playing the Bengals, go Chiefs.
All right. We'll
I said
take
it. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. He's the GOAT.
At least you can acknowledge it.
I'm a very fair Bengals fan. It's part of my job to be that way too, but I'm very fair. And how I look at the Chiefs. And look, I think we all can agree that when Patrick Mahomes was throwing Tyreek Hill the ball, offense was a little bit more flashier. It was a lot more fun to watch than last season, where you get some drops here, some drops there. Andy Reid referenced it. Patrick Mahomes mentioned it as well. Trent McDuffie even mentioned it. But here's Patrick Mahomes yesterday appeared in front of the media and said that they're working on one particular area that I think a lot of Chiefs fans can get behind.
Every year you have to do that. I think just as I've gotten older and as I've learned more and more, I just try to find different ways to tweak certain stuff and trying to push the envelope even more. And I think y'all saw today, we try to throw a few more deep passes, get back to the deep game and stuff like that. I think we've done a great job mastering the intermediate short stuff, but we want to get back to having that part of the offense as well. And so coach is really pushing us to push it down the field. And it's hard to do against our defense, but we're trying to make it happen.
I don't think he's saying that to tease Chiefs fans. It's like, yeah, we have the 4-2-1 speed from Xavier Worthy now. We have Hollywood Brown, who is a super duper deep threat. Rashee Rice, even though he might not have the speed necessarily, is a big play getter going back to his college days. Not necessarily used that way in this offense, but when you look at the weapons that they have, and I wish they would have been a little bit more aggressive in getting a wide receiver, another one in the draft, or even another one in free agency, but they didn't. Even still, the room that they have now is a big upgrade because you're going to get Rasheed. I know he's going to get suspended likely this season. You would think you'd rather be sooner than later. I think you want him back for the back half of the season. We don't even know how many games he'll be suspended, but when you have the wide receiver room at full strength, they are one of the best wide receiver rooms, I think, in the league. And I can say that with confidence. I mean, last year, if you look at the offense, they were 9th and 6th in passing. As bad as everybody thought that they were still a top 10 offense. And when you add Xavier Worthy in there, and he did tweak his hamstring, Andy Reid mentioned that. I know that makes you a little bit worried, Julio.
Makes me nervous.
Because the speed guys, you know, you don't want them to just...
That's a question mark to begin with.
With how fast they are, and yet his size in general, they want him to bulk up a little bit. And we'll get into expectations in particular a little bit later for each of the wide receivers, at least the first four that we think are on the depth chart and what we want from them this upcoming season. Hollywood Brown, I think, has an opportunity to have a career year with Rasheed's suspension and Xavier Worthy. Traditionally, Andy doesn't play the rookies very much. At least he didn't with Rasheed.
Until last year-ish.
And in a way, because he was forced to, because the wide receiver was so bad. And Rasheed, thankfully for Chiefs fans, found a way to really elevate his game to another level. The offense can really get back to being that flashy. The Chiefs have won flashy. They've won ugly. But we can all agree, as I said right when we came back from break, that the Chiefs, when they're playing flashy and they're dropping 30 points here, 30 points there, are a whole lot more fun to watch. And I know that they lost L'Jarius Sneed, but if they can have a top five offense and a top five defense, because they were elite to last year on defense, if you can have a Joshua Williams step up on the outside, along with the best corner in football and Trent McDuffie, and you got the pass rushers, you return the entirety of the defensive line, essentially. The linebacker core is right there as well. They are an unstoppable force.
I mean, look, I
don't think anybody's beating them, Julio, if they're top five in both categories.
Well, look, I certainly hope
they're going to lose a game. Don't get me wrong, but
we can go with that if you want. They don't have to lose a game. That's fine.
But they're going to be so hard to beat if they're able to have that consistency.
I mean, I will take the defense maybe taking a step back. I mean, they were so good last year.
Yeah.
So good. And they're bringing majority of those pieces back. Right. But I would gladly take the defense taking a step back if it means the offense, the old iteration of this offense, comes back and they're more high flying, more high powered, just electrifying. I will take that high powered offense over a top five defense any day of the week, especially with Patrick Mahomes back there.
Well, I think too that the defense will be, the offense will obviously, I don't know if there's a, I'm kind of stumbling over myself. I was like mid-sentence where I was like, I don't know about that. I don't know what's going to be more intriguing to watch this year. The defense and, hey, they lose L'Jarius Sneed. Can they be as good as they were again? Or the offense, hopefully being a little bit more flashy, some deep balls, you get Hollywood Brown in there, you get Xavier Worthy in there. What are you more intrigued to watch this year? 913-586-7610. Julio, I think I want to say the offense, but even the defense too, because there's an opportunity for George Karloftis to elevate his game even further, for Felix Anudike-Uzomah to really prove that he is worth that first round selection, for a guy like Joshua Williams, like, hey, Shamari Conner to get more and more involved. Who's going to be that DB to step up even more for this Chiefs defense now that they don't have L'Jarius Sneed? And we know how good Spags is with developing guys in the defensive backfield. I'm intrigued just as much as I am to watch the deep ball and Patrick Mahomes throw that thing as I am to see who from the Chiefs defense can continue to elevate their play even a little bit further.
I like the defensive backs. I mean, I think that was such a strength for them last year. Even with L'Jarius Sneed leaving, they had so much depth there and they have so much talent. That is one of their strengths with drafting and developing. I'm not too concerned. I'm more excited to see who steps up. I think someone will step up just because they are so deep. The defensive line, you know, again, another opportunity for people to step up. For me, it really truly is this offense. Hearing them, you didn't hear these types of things the last two seasons, right? Where they're coming right out the gate saying how high flying they're and looking to push the ball down the field.
Yeah.
They just didn't have that opportunity. They didn't have the talent to do that. This year, I mean, they're just They have so much potential at every level, right? Whether it's the deep threat, whether it's you know the mid routes, whether it's they look to be on paper so good across the board. I mean, it's going to be hard to cover whether it's Kelce across the field, whether it's Rashee Rice, whether it's Hollywood Brown down deep, Pacheco running the ball. I mean, that's what I'm excited to see. I want to see the old Patrick Mahomes, not the slowly push the ball down, because he will do that. He's already proven that. But man, I'm excited for this high-flying offense again.
Well, and you bring up a good point with Kelce too, is the fact that they have Hollywood, the fact that they have Xavier and Rashee, you know, when he's on the field and he's at the facility and he's putting in game time, he is very, very good. It allows for Travis, I think, because last year it was, well, who are they throwing the ball to? It is either Rashee Rice or it is Travis Kelce. Yep. Every now and then you throw a ball to Justin Watson or you dump it down to Pacheco or whatever the case may be, where now you've got three, at least two, hopefully three, if Xavier Worthy can stay healthy and get to that point where they can use him effectively with screens. I think they can make a killing in screens, because Rashee can be a good blocker. Hollywood, we'll see how his blocking is, but Xavier's got that speed where you just get the ball in his hands. You don't even need him to run that dynamic of a route. Get him the ball and let him do his thing. I think as long as he's good to go from the jump, it sounded like Andy also wanted to use him as the punt returner, because he was elite at Texas, and he brings that capability of making big plays. Another guy on defense, Jaden Hicks, was a steal where they got him.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily that he'll play, but in moments where they need, you know, five DBs, he's going to be out there, I think, and he can. He's going to be an interesting player in terms of stopping the run, where you're going up against teams like Buffalo, who are going to run the ball effectively. Baltimore, run the ball effectively. You're going to see Jaden Hicks, I think, get more playing time as the year goes on, but he's a guy to watch in terms of stopping the run. It is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. I'm Drew Nixon. Alongside Julio, we are bringing you another 2.5 hours of content. When we come back, it's a great time to be a KC sports fan, but not just because the Royals are playing well and the Chiefs are playing well as well. We'll get into the nitty-gritty a little bit more of why it's a great time to be a KC sports fan next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Little foot, big foot, get out the way. I'ma show y'all how to move this, yeah. I'ma show y'all how to move like this. I'ma show y'all.
After Hours continues right here on 610 Sports Radio. Drew Nixon alongside Julio, giving Dusty the night off. I was thinking about this this morning, Julio, with all the great stuff that we've got going on with the Royals, and they're 32-19, playing some of the best baseball. They're one of the hottest teams in all of baseball. How good of a time it is to be a KC sports fan and in the area. I mean, Cody and Gold have told me about this a lot, and Speck has mentioned it. The city is rocking when the Royals are playing well, especially now given the years of struggle here over the last 5 to 7 years, but it is a proper sports town that is underrated throughout the country. And you get the Royals who are playing great. You get the Chiefs who are trying to three-peat, and they've already won back-to-back, and they've got the best quarterback in football. They've got one of the best coaches in the game's history. You know, they've got everything going for them with those two. And then you add in the KC Current, who are still undefeated and second in the NWSL through 10 games. They have their own stadium that's dedicated, the first women's stadium. I mean, it's a great facility. I haven't made it out there. I went to a Current game last year. I haven't made it to CPKC Stadium. But there's a lot that's really good going on for the city. And I think I'll bring you in here a little bit more to talk about it, because I've only been here 8 months and I'm having a blast. And you can tell that everybody is very excited for the baseball season and for the football season and what could be with the Chiefs this year. But it seems like it reminds me a lot of my hometown of Indianapolis, where it's a little bit smaller market, but the passion for baseball, football, soccer is so profound that it's very underrated, and it's a great time to be a sports fan in KC.
I think, and this is coming, I am an East Coast guy born and raised.
Okay.
The Midwest has a different love for sports in general than I think either East Coast or West Coast. You know, say what you want, flyover country, whatnot, but this is a passion of cities in the Midwest, of sports in general. I know we were kind of talking, and I don't want to give it away as far as, is this a football town? Is this a baseball town? Mm. But man, this is 2014, 2015, right? Royals, great. Then we had, you know, we've had such a successful, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, basically since Andy Reid has been here with the Chiefs. But now we have both at the same time. I don't know what people are going to do come playoff baseball season and the Chiefs are, you know, start rolling. I mean, this town is going to, they're going to lose their freaking mind.
I mean, you could have a seriously important series in September, the same week that the Chiefs are hosting the Ravens on opening night. I mean, that is about as good as it gets. And who knows where the KC Corona will be, how good of a season they'll have had at that point. Even sporting, as poor of a season they've had in MLS play, they won another US Open Cup game the other night, and they're into the round of eight. So they're into the quarterfinals of that. So I think that it is interesting that you mentioned the bias of different locations across the country. I'm from the Midwest, born and raised. I've lived in multiple places, and there's it's just underrated, I think, is the way to describe it, where there's a lot of really good experience that people get from being in Kansas City, you know, from the Big 12 tournament to going to a Chiefs game. I mean, Arrowhead is a destination place now where if you want to see a football game and your team's playing the Chiefs, I mean, you got to make it to Arrowhead. I haven't been able to go to Arrowhead yet for a game. I'm wanting to go to the Bengals game.
You gonna wear
this
Chiefs
year.
Gear?
I will not wear Chiefs gear. I do have
Come on. Come on.
I have a quarter zip that Gold gave me, and I've worn it multiple times. But I will be wearing the Bengals gear, and I'll be.
Don't you do it? Don't you?
I'll be chanting.
Don't you do it?
The chant.
Let's go neutral, man.
But I think that, you know, from going to Royals games as well, like there's just a vibe. I think that.
Yep.
When their teams are winning, it's just like any place, but it's not as aggressive maybe as New York for the Knicks or for the Rangers or in Chicago. Totally. Yeah, it's very respectful, but when the teams are playing well, it is as great of a place to be as anywhere else. And the Chiefs have done that. The Royals are doing it. Hopefully they can keep this sucker going. The KC Current crowd as well. I've never been in an environment where it's not... I'm not going to say not cool or where it's cool to go to a soccer game in the U.S., but the passion that the city has growing up and living in different places, KC's always the place that they show during the World Cup. Hey, the U.S. just scored a goal. KC, Power and Light District. Boom. Yep. There's a flash there and it's packed. Yeah, KC Current sold out 11,000 fans for NWSL. It's fantastic for sporting. The fan base is there and they're passionate. I mean, it's as cool of a sports town as you're going to get in. We're able to witness it.
We're missing a whole segment here. I mean, and this is what makes the Midwest so beautiful, right? Is it's not like an East Coast, West Coast thing where it's easy to appreciate your professional sports teams. That's not the case in the Midwest, where a lot of it is your local sports, your local college teams, right? You're talking about KU, MU, K-State. We're talking about college football, college basketball. I mean, and right now, it's an even more spectacular time when you take that into account with how good college football-wise all three programs are. College basketball, I think KU is, are they preseason number one, top five?
They're going to be up there.
They're up there.
Again,
so,
yes.
I mean, they just support even colleges, the local colleges. Man, Midwest is, if you're a sports fan, it truly is. It's a special place, especially here.
And KU's going to have games at Arrowhead this year because they're going under all the new stadium renovations and stuff like that. And I'll have to get out for that as well. And speaking of college football, perfect job, Julio, of teasing this. What locals are making the college football playoff? We're going to talk KU, K-State, Mizzou. Could all three make it? I think there's a shot, actually, that all three do make it. I'll tell you why next. It is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
You and me, we come from After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. You like the we're talking some college football. Drew Nixon alongside Julio. Filling in for Dusty Likens tonight. We're going to talk some college football here. If you want to, you can call in. We'll get your takes. 913-586-7610. Which locals are making the college football playoff? 12-team college football playoff this year. It's the best chance for all three. I know you are a KU grad, Julio. I don't know how excited you are for Jalen Daniels and those guys. If he can stay healthy, KU's got a good chance to to make it. I like, for some reason, hypotheticals are always fun to talk about, but this is a true hypothetical that we're not going to know about until the end of the season, really. As well, looking back, how healthy was Jalen Daniels? I mean, when he's healthy, he's a potential Heisman Trophy candidate.
Dynamic.
He's gonna be a guy that a lot of people enjoy playing with in the video game. The reason why I think all three have a shot is the way that this is shaping up in the Big 12. I think Missouri's got a very favorable schedule. If they get to 10 wins, given that they're in the SEC, I think they're in. They don't even have to make the championship game. I think they're in with 10 wins because the SEC's got the bias, and they're going to get the nod. And they have Luther Burden coming back, Brady Cook coming back, Theo Weiss. They've got a dynamic group of players coming in where I think with along with the favorable schedule, they are the most likely to get in. On the flip side, the reason why I think KU and K-State have the best chance to potentially both make it is Texas and Oklahoma are no longer in the conference. So right now, based on the win totals that came out on FanDuel, you've got Utah and K-State currently as the favorites at 9.5 wins. You've got Kansas at 8.5. If KU and K-State, let's say one of them is undefeated and another one has one loss, and they meet in the Big 12 championship game, and the team that has one loss wins the championship, the lock is in for them because they're the Big 12 champion, and then the other team would have only had one loss. You could make the case that all three local schools get into the college football playoff this year. And I think that you mentioned, along with the Chiefs and the Royals, Julio, playing well in the current, the college fan base that is there for, you know, not just K-State fans, not just KU fans. They're optimistic because of how well they've been in forever. It's been a long, long, long time since they were even in the top 25 consideration preseason. Missouri obviously being back to where they want to be. There's a lot to be excited about for the college football fan bases, and I think that there's a case that you can see all three of them coming up in December in those college football playoff games.
Yeah, I'd say, as painful as it is for me, I think Mizzou does have, and as much as tough as a conference as the SEC is, I think Mizzou, again, like you said, has a pretty favorable schedule. They're just returning so much. You have to put them up there. Again, KU, it all depends on Jaden Daniels, man. And if, you know, with Bean leaving, you know, he has to be healthy. And when he is healthy, he's dynamic, and they have as good a shot as anyone to sit at the top of the Big 12 mountain. K-State, I think, maybe is a little more favorable than KU. Question their offensive line. They did lose some there. But, man, that's always been a strength of theirs. It's just, you're right in the fact that all three local schools really do have a shot, and that's crazy to say, especially as a KU fan. But all three schools legitimately have a chance to make it to the playoffs.
Coming up in the second hour of the show, Chris Klieman, head coach at K-State, is going to join. That's going to be one of the things I'll probably try to talk to him about a little bit, is the offensive line and some of the struggles. I mean, they lose Will Howard, but Avery Johnson. I think it's important for K-State to have gotten the reps with Avery Johnson. We know how good Jalen Daniels is. We know how good Brady Cook is. We know a little bit of how good Avery Johnson is, but they've got the firepower to all make some serious noise in the Big 12 with no more Texas and Oklahoma. If you look at KU's schedule, the toughest game that they have is on the road at K-State in October. And maybe at West Virginia is a little bit tough, but KU's got a legitimate chance to get over. I like the over in that 8.5 wins. I'm going to bet it, Julio, because you can call me an optimist. I think Jalen Daniels is staying healthy.
It's because you're not a KU fan.
See, okay,
we're kind of like Royals fans. We've been beaten down for so long.
KU football is, you're in a similar spot then.
Don't get me wrong. I'm very excited.
You just don't want your heart broken to expect
it. It's exactly it.
Missouri's schedule, by the way, toughest game that they have is at Alabama. They got Oklahoma at home.
Which is going to be interesting for Alabama without Saban.
Yeah, that is going to be... that's going to be really interesting because they've got the head coach, I think, that can win with them. It's just how long is it going to take for them to get, or is it immediately? Are they going to go through some hurdles because they have a new head coach at the helm? It's not the greatest college football coach of all time. You can check out, by the way, shameless plug here, 249 Miles of Football podcast, brand new podcast on the Odyssey page. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we cover KU, K-State, Missouri. We talk about stuff like this. The first episode is all about expectations. Carrington actually mentioned something along the lines of K-State and what fans should enjoy is if your team is hot and your team is cold, or your team is hot or they're cold, there's a lot of high times, but there's a ton of low times. Where if you've got a team that is consistently giving you 7 to 9 wins, it's good to be a fan of K-State football. It's good to be a fan when you're consistently in bowl games and you're every now and then you're given a double-digit win season. It's okay. K-State is never going to win a national title, never, because of the way that things shape up. They will make the playoff. They will maybe win a game or two in the playoff. But the way that college football is, and there's still that hierarchy system, you got the Big Ten and the SEC and then everybody else. And when they go up against Georgia in a semifinal game, they might be able to hang for a little bit, but we saw what happened when they played Alabama. They hung for a little bit and got beat by an Alabama team that a lot of people said wasn't even that great compared to other Alabama teams. They lost by 28 points.
Breaking a lot of K-State hearts right now saying that, you know?
I am a resident K-State fan, though. That is the team that I was adopted into coming in here.
Okay.
So I think that coming into Kansas City, I've been to Manhattan, went to a game. Love the traditional aspect of it. The fan base is awesome. They're dedicated. K-State fan base has nothing to complain about because they're consistently winning 7 to 9 games.
But don't you think they have as good a shot as any in the current climate of college football to where the expanded playoffs...
To win the whole thing?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. With NIL, of the turnover in the powerhouses...
Give
him a shot. Come on.
As much as I would love to admit that, I don't think that they're never going to win a national title in football just because of the way that the sport is. And look,
see?
I hope that Chris Klieman can prove me wrong. He is a hell of a coach and he did amazing things at North Dakota State. And I think he can do even better things at KSU in terms of consistently getting them in the playoff, winning multiple Big 12 titles. But I don't think, and the same thing goes for KU. I'm sorry, Julio. I don't even know if I can see Missouri's going to win a national title. They might have the best shot because they're in the SEC and they've got that talent that they can get, where K-State is in the position where they have to consistently go to the portal to get those guys who didn't really make it at tier A school to get to a tier B school in K-State. They're not a tier A school. There's very few tier A schools. Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State. That almost is it.
But they're one of the best at developing those four-star recruits.
They are, and Coach Klieman, he's done a very good job in the portal. And I think that Avery Johnson staying was huge.
Yeah.
Was agreed. Massive. Because he could have left. And I'm sure that there were a lot of people trying to get him and trying to tamper. Hey, man, you can come play in the SEC. You're a dynamic player. I think that he's going to be very good. I think K-State's going to win double-digit games this year. I think they'll be great. But that doesn't mean they're going to win a national title. And that's okay. Because I think in college football, if you go in with the mindset of we're contending for a national championship, you're going to be disappointed more often than not unless you root for Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, or Michigan. And even Michigan fans, I think, saying we're going to win a national title this year are being a little bit too optimistic. Missouri, I think they've got a chance to host a playoff game. If KSU wins the Big 12, they will host a playoff game in Manhattan. That is a huge win for the campus. People will get to go visit. They're going to get all kinds of hub. Avery Johnson, having him stay, as we mentioned, Jalen Daniels is a box office type of player that you need to see. That's what is so good about the playoff expanding, I think, is the phrase of everybody gets more of the pie is true, it doesn't mean that you're going to see a difference in the national championship game necessarily. I would love nothing more than to see K-State go and be in the title game like TCU did a couple years ago. But again, K-State or TCU had a great team. They got pasted.
Yeah.
In that game against Georgia. That's just the way that the state in college basketball, way better chance. I think that K-State would win a national title. They almost made it all the way.
You think so?
To the final. I think there's a much better chance that they win a national title in college basketball because of the way that college football is compared to college basketball. KU has a better chance to win a title for obvious reasons in basketball than in football. Missouri, probably football over basketball given the last season.
Go there. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that in terms of winning a national title, if you're a team like K-State, it makes way more sense for you to say they're going to be a national title winner in basketball sooner than they will in college football because of the disparity that there is in college football. And I know that people don't like to hear it. I don't like to say it. I am a Wisconsin fan.
It's hurting my ears right now what you're saying,
Joe. I am a Wisconsin fan, and I know for a fact that Wisconsin will never win a national title in college football as long as I'm alive, probably. And the reason why is because they are a team, they're just like Penn State. They will go 10-2, 9-3 every year, but whenever they play Ohio State, Michigan, they will lose the game. And once they play a big boy, they will lose the game because they're just not good enough. And that's okay. I think you have to temper expectations. Like, if you're a K-State fan going into this season, you're saying, oh yeah, we're in contention to win the national title. I think you're playing yourself. If you can say, we have a chance to win a playoff game, you are absolutely in the right, and that is a massive, massive win for Kansas State.
As much as it breaks my heart to hear you saying this, I appreciate that you are a realistic college football fan. Unfortunately, I think you're right.
I love me some college football, and I would love to see. And there's going to be a Group of Five team. I think Boise State is going to be really good next year. I think Memphis will be really good this year, but I don't know. They actually, believe it or not, could be playing the winner of the Big 12 in the playoff or the winner of the ACC. I would love nothing more to see Boise State go and try to pull in Oklahoma, but a lot of times in the college basketball tournament, we love the Cinderella stories, but as soon as we see a 15 seed play a number one seed in the Elite Eight, it is not a close game, and you wonder, even it was cool to see them win, but I wonder if so-and-so would have given them a better game because they were a three, and they've got just better players at that point, and you know they've got their legs under them a little bit more. There's been a break. Where in college football, I would love nothing more to see Boise State or KU win a playoff game. But, and not that it's bad, because I love college football regardless, but a lot of the casual fans will say, I didn't want to see Kansas playing against Alabama in the national title game because we know it's going to be a blowout. I'd rather see KU lose to Ohio State instead so then we can maybe get a better national title game. Where I'm on the side of, look, I would rather, if I'm going to see a blowout, I would much rather see KU in there or K-State in there than see Ohio State get killed.
But I was going to say, would you rather see Alabama versus Clemson again, or Alabama versus Michigan, or like the same six programs that it just rotates through?
I would rather not see it, but I know, but I think that's the way it's going to be, where there's more teams in the playoff. But that doesn't mean that we're going to see K-State in the Final Four. If we do, great. But I think eventually they're going to play a team that's in the SEC, like a Georgia, and they're going to have to get through Georgia to make it to the Final Four. And it's just they're just not going to be good enough. But to your point, I would rather see K-State play. I would love to see K-State play in a national title game. I'd love to see Oregon play in a national title. I'd love to see Clemson back in there. Florida State, I wanted them in the playoff last year, even though Jordan Travis was out. I think that it's good to see more teams make it as far as TCU did. That doesn't mean for the casual football fan, people would argue it's not good for college football seeing blowouts, where I would beg a little bit to differ. But I don't know what your thoughts are. Somebody texted in from the 913. I don't think the Big 12 champ would get a home game because they'd have a bye that first weekend. So it depends. So four teams get byes. If they're the lowest ranked, actually, no, that's right, because the Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. Thank you for bringing that up, by the way, on the text line. Whoever that was, thank you, because that person's correct. They would not host a game. That's another thing. If I could change one thing of the 12-team playoff, and then we'll go...
Aside from it being a 12-team playoff?
We'll go to the second hour. It coincides with it. 12-team playoff is great, but you need more than the first round to be home games, because the teams that get a bye, it's not a home playoff game. Where I think you can make a case, if you would you rather be a 5 seed and host a playoff game or be the 4 seed and get a bye? I think a lot of people would take the bye because of injuries and all that stuff, and you win a conference title, but hosting a playoff game can do so many good things for you on campus. And the Big 12 champ probably wouldn't, but say KU and K-State play, one's undefeated, one has one loss, and whoever loses the game, they still could host a playoff game technically.
I would say, if I, as a KU fan, I'd rather have a home playoff game than a bye.
It's so good for, such good hub, and it is really, really cool that they're doing this. They need both the first two rounds in there, and then once you get to the semis to go neutral site, but I hate neutral site games. NCAA tournament shouldn't be in a football stadium as well. It's another hot take. Put them in basketball arenas. The environment's going to be way better, like the women's tournament was. The environment was great. A lot of times you don't get that necessarily in the Final Four. It is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. When we come back, your stars need to be big time in the biggest games. The Royals have guys that can be that in big games. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.